This season of the Mum Break podcast is brought to you by Bathorium, Canada's favorite clean and green beauty bath products. They make all-natural bath bombs, bath soaks, bubble baths, and accessories with no artificial fragrances or toxins. And they're vegan and ethically produced. To get 15% off, go to mumbreak.ca/bath.
Welcome to the Mum Break podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off, hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours.
I want to talk about toddlers today because I get questions all the time about, you know, Does your kid do this? Has your kid tantrumed over that? My kid just did this. Is it normal? And I want to share my experience a little bit with toddlers because I used to talk about it a lot. Like a lot. When I started the Instagram account and Aubrey was little, I talked about it all the time because with my first kid, toddlers was this sneaky beast that just came out of nowhere that I wasn't expecting and I didn't understand them, and I tried to put logical human emotions on what they did, and I really, really, really struggled. So when my second kid came around, I didn't have quite as an abrupt entryway into toddlerhood again, because I knew that and I sort of understood how they ticked. I mean, understood how they ticked is like very, very loose. I just knew that there was no logic to what they did and that I couldn't put human emotions on them. So taking a step back, when I had Aubrey as a toddler, she is a amazing, creative, hilarious, challenging child. She's the reason I started a separate Facebook group back at the beginning for toddler support. Let's put it that way. I was struggling so hard with her as a toddler that I actually created a Facebook group, and it was one of my most popular Facebook groups I've ever started because the problem is so widespread among parents, because especially as for, I mostly see it among first-time parents or parents who have, you know, second kids, and their first parents had a different demeanor, let's put it that way, and they're like, whoa, what's happening with this psycho toddler? But it's just a toddler. So the Facebook group was huge and wildly popular. So with Aubrey, I started that. I started, you know, hashtag normalize the tantrum, which, I mean, I didn't start it. I started using it in almost everything. I started a regular series on, you know, why my toddler tantrumed today. And I put it in every single newsletter for almost a year. And it was the easiest thing to find content for. I started a recurring series on Instagram posts about toddler tantrums. It was just so easy to find content because I was so struggling. And I struggled for like a year and a half. So all that to say, I don't talk about toddler tantrums as much now because, well, for a couple reasons. Number one, I have changed my perspective on what I feel comfortable sharing online. So with my first child, I had a very wide array of topics and content that I felt comfortable sharing. But now, as I've sort of grown and changed in this community and with these people and with, you know, what I feel comfortable sharing with my family and my kids get older, that has since dramatically narrowed. So I don't feel comfortable always, I mean, sometimes, every once in a while, always sharing the tantrums or the fits or the frustration that either of my kids have now. Austin, my little one, he just turned 3. I'm a little bit more comfortable with it, but my daughter Aubrey still very much struggles with a lot. And we have, you know, a whole host of things that we're tackling with her, and that's something that I don't feel comfortable talking about yet. But it does result in, we say, a lot of big feelings. We have days where we have a lot of big feelings, and we have days where it pushes me to the edge, and I want so badly to talk about it with people and to share it, because I know that it is so incredibly common. But I don't feel like it's my story to share anymore. She's 6 now, so what we're working on with her and what we're struggling with is something we've decided at this moment, who knows what will happen in the future, to not share. So that makes it a little bit difficult. Now with Austin, I, you know, don't share for the similar reason, but also because for me now, since I've already been through, and this is just part of what I've accepted in toddlerhood, it's not a big deal. I don't know. I mean, it still very much impacts our day-to-day life, but I that initial like, oh, toddlers, God, you're psycho, has since gone. I'm just sort of accepted as norm now. And, you know, when he throws down because I give him the wrong cup, or because that's the exact same as the other cup, or because I can't find one truck, like it's not something that blips on my radar, because I've already spent years dealing with, actually, quite frankly, worse with Aubrey because of some other stuff that she has going on. So I think that's why I don't talk about it anymore. But because I don't talk about it that much, I get so many questions. And this interview is an interview. I'm interviewing myself, I guess. This interview, this podcast episode, this chat in my kitchen while I chug my coffee at 5:45 in the morning, because my husband woke me up this morning and I couldn't fall back to sleep, because there's that hour where if you wake up at a certain time, you just can't fall back asleep. It hit me at the wrong time. So I am down here recording a podcast. Oops. It is, toddlers are hard. Toddlers are really, 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 really hard. And because I don't talk about it a lot anymore, I don't want people to think that it's not a common struggle. Maybe I'll start talking about it more, but that's why this podcast started, because it was inspired by a lot of questions I've got recently from parents who are struggling with their kids who tantrum or have, you know, big feelings and big emotions, and who are having a really hard time. And right now, I mean, I'm recording this little, this one I'm recording live. I'm trying to record this whole woman's live, so it's literally May 14th. I'm going to publish this immediately after 2021. Half the world is locked down. Half the world is free. It's a very confusing time in the world right now, pandemic-wise. But all that to say is that something that may not have bothered you before may have been, you know, a challenge, a blip the size of an apple may now feel like a watermelon. And our kids are feeling that too. I know my kids are. They're struggling. I think I'm gonna quit online school. We've been doing virtual school now for, I don't even know, not that long this time around, but it feels like forever. I think I'm probably gonna quit. It feels like 18 million years. But that's because my kids are struggling. They are walking around with watermelon-sized feelings because their little clementines just, you know, have been exacerbated by the fact that they don't have any socialization. They don't have any, you know, they're stuck with mom and dad all day, and or just mom sometimes, most times now. Aubrey's just home with me all day, and I constantly just tell her no, like, I can't pay attention to you right now because I'm trying to work, and it's hard all around. So I think a lot of parents are feeling that too. We're walking around with what used to be clementine-sized challenges, things that would set us up in a clementine-sized way, but now are exacerbated by the world around us and feel like watermelons. And it's not to say that the clementine-sized problem isn't a problem. It is, but I just think that our kids feel it too. And now with the toddler stuff, with all these questions I've been getting recently, I feel it so deeply, because I feel the same with my kids. I just don't feel comfortable talking about it anymore in the nitty gritty, the details. But I do have a story from yesterday that I wanted to share, and I'm going to probably put out a video later of it because I did a little mini recording. Here's the perfect toddler example. And if it had been my first kid, I would have been, you know, and I still have these thoughts that creep in. I'm a bad mom. What am I doing wrong? It's me. I'm not doing enough. I'm not strict enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. The thoughts creep in. But with now having done it already, so for the first time moms out there, it gets easier because that challenge, it starts to go away. Now I'm like, okay, no, I am a good mom. He's just a toddler. Yeah, maybe I could do things differently, but hey, the world feels like a watermelon right now, so I'm doing the best I can. And it's easier to tackle those problems once you've already been through it and see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yesterday, oh my God, I don't know what I was thinking. I know his limitations, and I know, every kid has different limitations too. So whereas some kids do some things really well, other kids, you know, really struggle with the exact same thing. And there's this huge wide array of stuff, right? So I'm trying to get Austin, who just turned 3, to be better at walking with me on the street. I'm like, this is a skill that at some point you need. So I'm trying to, because we don't really go out and we walk, but we go for, like, because I'm in lockdown in Ontario right now. So essentially we can go to parks and we can bike places. Like there's not, from a socialization, like walking to the store, holding mommy's hand perspective, there's not a lot we can practice on because we usually either bike or just, you know, I'll push them in a stroller to the park because they can't make it as far to closest park by just walking because it's a bit of a, it's not that much of a trek, but it's a trek for a 3-year-old. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go pick them up from daycare today. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny. It's warm. It's a good opportunity to practice walking. I have, 40 minutes until I have to be home for a meeting. It takes me as an adult 5 minutes to walk to daycare. 35 minutes should be enough to get the 3-year-old home, which is really like five minutes for me, 35 minutes for him. It could be a bad walk, but, you know, we'll make it. I'm going to try. I'm going to practice because he doesn't have a lot of practice right now in other places. With Aubrey, it was like I went to stores, I went to playgroups, I went to, you know, different activities, outings, to farms, and she had a lot of practice just walking with mommy. We're going to a place. He's had none because he's sort of at an awkward COVID baby stage. By the time he learned to walk, it was, you know, the world was locked down. So again, I don't know what I was thinking because I know his limitations and I was just feeling keen. I was like, I had a good day. Things are going well today. It's highs and lows, but I can do it. I'll take on the world. So I got there in 5 minutes. I went to pick him up, chatted with the daycare teachers. Had a great day. Awesome. Lovely. He asked me to hold his Foxy because somehow he snuck his Foxy, his stuffed animal, into daycare, which he's not supposed to. My husband is, has a soft heart. So, because he dropped him off. So then he looks at me and he just sprints away. I'm like, okay, we're off to a good start. At least he's, I thought, at least he's moving. He may not be that kid who holds my hand and walks nicely with mommy, but at least we're going to make it in 35 minutes. He sprints toddler sprints for, I'm trying to think of the conversion because I know a lot of you are in the States, but you're going to have to get on board with the metric at some point, maybe. I don't know. But he sprints for maybe 20 meters, which is, again, I have no idea what the conversion is. I'm sorry. He sprints for 20 minutes and gives up. I'm like, okay, let's regroup. He stops. He says goodbye to all of his daycare friends because he's still at the fence of daycare. And it's, distance is the same distance. So he's still saying goodbye to his daycare friend. Then I was like, I'm going to play with this running thing. Let's race home. He loves racing. Okay, Austin, ready, set, run. Flops on the ground. Refuses to move. Full starfish on the ground 20 meters into the walk. I was like, okay, this is a good start. Let's try a tactic. Pick him up. Goes dead fish. Okay. Deep breaths, daycare teachers are watching. Don't let them think you're a bad parent. That kid doesn't listen to you. Let's try this again. Okay, Austin, let's run. He looks at me, sprints away again. Makes it another 10 meters to the end of the daycare fence where he sees two kids playing. This is the last of it. I'm like, okay, we've made it by, it's a center, so we've made it by, most of the kids with the exception of these last two. Decides to run up to the fence and ram his Foxy into the fence to the girl and yell at the girl in the fence. I was like, oh God. And the girl, of course, is like, get away, that's a terrible Foxy, blah, 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 blah. They're toddlers, they're kids. they start fighting. Because of this, now she's engaged him. He refuses to leave. Flops down again, 30 meters into the walk. I'm like, oh my God. At this point, it's been 5 minutes already. So I've made it the entire way myself in this time, whereby with him now, I literally haven't even left the daycare parking lot. It takes about another 5 minutes to convince him to leave this girl because I wasn't at the point where I was ready just to like carry him the whole way home because I'm trying to do a teachable moment. I still have some time left. Flops down. I finally get him to leave the girl. I don't know how. I think he just got bored. It wasn't anything magical that I did. 5 meters later, he finds a bush. He looks at me. I was like, okay, we had a whole conversation, but has to listen. If he doesn't listen, I'm going to carry him. He doesn't want to be carried. So 5 meters later, he's like, I'm going to listen. Mommy, put me down. I'm going to listen. I'm like, okay, sure. If you're going to listen, you have to listen to mommy. Mommy wants to keep you safe. Blah, 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 blah. Insert all the nice things that I think I'm being a good parent. And he finds a bush. And this is the thing about the bush. I didn't realize this was a thing, but toddlers look at the world in very different ways and they find things that you don't see. This bush is just on the edge of the daycare parking lot. But it's a big bush. It's actually quite large. So I would say it's the size of my kitchen, as an example. So it's a room in a house. Like, it's a big bush. The problem is that the bush is surrounded by the parking lot, another parking lot, and a path, and the parking lot leads right onto the road. So the middle of the bush isn't something that I can reach. I can't just stick my hand in, grab him, and pull his arm out. It's just far enough that I can't reach him, but there's like 5 exits to the bush and he could exit on any way, either the parking lots, and then to get around the bush, it takes me like a couple seconds to sprint around. So he figured this out really quickly and I was stuck on the outside like a goof, literally not being able to get him until he decided to exit the bush, because as soon as I would lunge in to get him, he would sprint out one of the sides and I wouldn't know what side to run. So you know those games where you put a ball down a tube or whatever and it could come like a Plinko. It was kind of like a Plinko, if anyone's watched Price is Right. Like, you put it down the top and you have no idea where it's gonna end up. He's in the middle of this bush, and if I lunged in to get him, he'd Plinko out to wherever and I wouldn't be able to catch him. So we're here for another 5 minutes. I think I'm maybe losing track of my time, but it felt like an eternity. So he, in his smart toddler ways, figured this out, but in his mind, he's like thinking this is the most hilarious game. I'm ready to murder somebody. I'm so frustrated. Daycare people can still see me. It's been 10, 15 minutes and I haven't even left the property because I can't control my own child. Finally, and then he gets out, he sprints back to the girl. It's a whole thing. Finally, I convince him, you know what, let's keep going. So we keep walking. Well, sort of. He sprints away again. It's like little short intervals. Then he finds, like another 10 meters away, he starts sprinting and he sprints into the kindergarten playground. Like, he's just, he sprinted away. He's like, I'm going to listen. Okay. So we're now 20 minutes into the walk and we have gotten 100 meters, 150 meters. And he's like, I'm going to listen, mommy. Keeps going. I try to pick him up. I'm like, I'm done. Like, it's been 20 minutes. My patience is done. My teachable moment's over. I don't care. Like, this is ridiculous. I stand and I strip off my jacket because at one point when on this walk, I was actually cool. But you know how it is with kids and toddlers. Eventually, you just get into this perpetual sweat where you're chasing kids and stressed and anxious and your body just shuts down and goes into this hot, sweaty mess. So I take off my jean jacket, tie it on my waist. I take back my fanny pack because I'm a cool human being. Tie that around my waist. Grab his tiny little human hip-hop, top, skip-hop. Whatever, backpack, throw that on my back. Skip out backpack, fanny pack, jean jacket tied around my waist, full sweat, red face, trying to pick him up, tried to get him, but while I was doing my jacket and all that, shaking around and figuring it out, he sprints away again, right into the street. I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna kill himself. I managed to grab him by the scruff of his neck. I sprint after him, make sure he doesn't get hit by a car, and pick him up and carry him across the street under my arm. Screams, I can do it, mommy, I'm gonna listen. Full throwing, melting down. And at this point, I managed to get him 150 meters away from daycare. The walk is about 450 meters away. So at this point, it's been about 25 minutes. We're not in a great pace here. He decides at this point, shoes are a burden and he can't wear them if his life depends on it. Rips off his shoes, throws them across the sidewalk, and lays starfish on the ground, again. This point, I sit, I take a couple deep breaths. I'm ready to feel, I'm feeling pretty ragey at this point. I have to admit, I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready to lose it. I think my training with Aubrey had prepared me for this moment because I often think in scenarios like this, how parents would lose their cool way earlier and way later too. Like I'm probably somewhere in the middle, but I often think about those, you know, those parents who, you know, are a little bit more triggered more easily because of various things. I'm like, okay, at least like, I think I'm doing pretty well considering. I'm not doing great, but I think all things considering, I'm doing pretty well. I take a couple deep breaths, put my hands on my hips with my jean jacket and family pack and take a break while he just lays starfish on the ground. He sees an ant. He tries to kill it with Foxy. He chases the ant around. I take a breath. He starts crawling onto someone's property. I'm like, okay, I need to get him under control because at this point, I'm done. So I put on his shoes, kicks them off, refuses to put them on. It's really hard to put shoes on toddlers who don't want shoes on. One of the tactics, and this is a big problem with us for shoes for some reason with him. Everyone has different issues, but his is shoes for some reason. So what I do is if he's laying starfish on the ground, I kneel on top of him with my butt in his face, sort of. And so I straddle him on both sides so that I have full control over his legs. I have complete control. I am the boss. The mom straddling a toddler on the side of the street is the boss. And I basically control the upper body. So I slow down the movement. He's pinned to the ground. He can't wiggle or he can't roll away. And then I force his shoes on, but when I get one shoe on, I have to control that foot and move it out of the way because otherwise his other foot comes and slips off the shoe with the heel, like the toe of his foot, like slip off the shoe. So then I secure that leg, feeling pretty good about myself, get the other shoe feeling pretty good about himself. And somehow in that brief moment I stand off, he kicks them off again. Mother. So I take a deep breath. I internally lose my shit. I probably say a few things like, Austin, you're driving me crazy. Blacked out a little bit, I'm not entirely sure. And I do the system again. Get back into my toddler secure pin straddler mode on the side of the street. One shoe on, secure the leg. Second shoe on, secure the leg. This time I secure both legs and I sort of like literally starfish him so that his feet can't reach each other. I pick him up, throw him over my shoulder. Because at this point, toddlers do this thing when they don't want to be picked up, where they turn into like cats or like spineless things, where somehow they manage to like almost like unlock their arms and shoulders and become this really like floppy thing that's impossible to hold. Don't know how they do it. It's quite impressive. But a like 35-pound kid turns into a giant heavy thing that you can't physically get any grasp onto. So I ended up just throwing him over my shoulder. Now, we made a lot of good time with this strategy. You know, of course, it was just, you know, me with a giant toddler over my shoulder like a sack of potatoes with him screaming, losing his mind, cars staring. I saw the look of solidarity in parents. You could see the car seat in the back and they looked me in the eyes and they said, I feel it in their soul. They said, I feel you. I've been here. I get it. Good for you. Other people who, you know, looked in their early 20s who didn't have kids, I presume, I'm making an assumption, like, what is this crazy thing doing? I'm never having children. She's crazy. Why would she be so mean to our kids? Shouldn't she just ask them to walk? A whole host of things. You get parents, you get people who, you know, look in the retired age and they smile and they're like, yeah, we've been there. And you get a lot of different looks when you carry your kid down the street kicking and screaming for the next 200 meters over your shoulder. So I made a lot of good time though. At this point, I'd covered a really large amount of ground in a really short period of time because I just had given up completely and was walking with him over my shoulder. At one point, you could tell that he was starting to calm down, so I switched him to my hip. My shoulder needed a break. I just did a workout. I was like, in my head, cursing my workout this morning. I was like, if I had known I was doing this, I wouldn't have worked out because this is a workout in itself. It's silly. So I moved him to my hip and I kept thinking, oh, I miss carrying babies like this on my hip. No, Erica, you have a screaming toddler. You do not miss babies. And I managed to make it another 50 meters with him on my hip before my body started shutting down of exhaustion because toddlers are heavy, and just ended up carrying him the rest of the way home. At one point, we were really close to home. I was like, I'm going to give it another shot. And I looked at him and said, Austin, are you ready to walk now? You can hold mommy's hand. And he said, no, mommy, you carry me. I was like, fuck my life. Oh, sorry if you have kids around. F my life. And then he found my boobs. I was wearing a tank top with like a little bit of cleavage. I want to play with your boobs, mommy. Can I touch your boobs, mommy? I was like, you know what? If it keeps you calm, quiet, whatever. So the last, you know, little bit of the walk was essentially me, fanny pack, hanging off over top of a jean jacket tied around my waist, skip hop backpack on my bag, three-year-old on my hip, red, sweaty face while he played with my boobs. Now, why do I tell you this story? Because this story is very, very common. This is not something special in my life. There are so many more like this. This just happened yesterday, and it was just honestly a very normal thing to happen. What I realized about, and I have so many more, and I'll share them another time in another method, but what I realized about toddlers is that they are not out to get you. And my mom used to tell me this all the time, and I'm like, I don't believe you. This is stupid. She's evil. She hates me. Aubrey hates me. She's just a mean person. She shouldn't do this. But it's their job to push you, to test you, and it's not a personal attack on you. I think maybe it was, there's like a Regina George Mean Girls quote about toddlers. Like it feels like whatever that expression is, it feels like a personal attack on me. Personally victimized by my toddler. That's what it is. I feel like I'm being personal. It does. It really, that's exactly how it feels, but it's not. And as soon as I learned to detach that from it and just said, you know what? These fits and these tantrums and these heavy feelings, it's their only way to communicate, to learn, to develop. This is just a very typical part of kids growing up. And I think for me, is that an expression? I guess it is now. The aha moment for me was that I can't control what they do. I can only control what I do. And sometimes it means I'm going to lose my shit. There is a tiny ride-on size car hole in my wall that I'll tell you about another day from when I lost my shit and I threw it against the wall and left a giant hole in my wall because I just couldn't anymore. The rage, the frustration, the tantrum after tantrum eventually spilled over, and it's hard to hold it together. I can only hold it together for so long. So for me, I can only control what I do. I can only figure out what strategies work for me to help cope and deal, because I'm not going to change my toddler. Some toddlers I'm going to see and I'm going to be, and you know, some people who are listening, if you're listening to the end of this, it's probably not you, but you may have a toddler, and I see some friends too who are the same. They just sit and listen and play and smile and laugh, and every now and then they have a tantrum where it's like a couple minutes and then they're fine. And if I'm totally honest, deeply jealous and slightly insecure about that, because it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong and that I wish I had kids who didn't do that. But at the same time, I'm doing my best I can. The kids are all different. Everyone has different struggles or different challenges or different things that they excel at. And I just have to remember that. So I have, over the years, got this sort of toolbox of things that have helped me deal with all of these tantrums and big feelings and big behaviors. And it's changed and evolved. And I think everyone needs this sort of toolbox to help them through. My husband and I have, he sees how, because I get the brunt of the tantrums and because I get the brunt of the attitude, I don't know why, there's a thing about, them feeling comfortable with moms, so they're harder on moms, but my kids are absolutely the hardest on me of anybody else in their lives. Significantly, like my husband even notices, everyone notices. And I used to take that as a very personal thing, like what's wrong with me, what am I doing wrong, but now I take it as a, you know what, they feel comfortable enough with me to do this, so I need to figure out some coping strategies. So with my husband, now that he sees that and he acknowledges that, and we've had many a breakdowns and many messy moments, that we now have strategies whereby he does bedtime and I do morning routine. It's a bit different right now because of the lockdown, but typically by the end of the day, I'm ready to lose my freaking mind and I'm at capacity. So because of our schedules work out, I deal with the kids all morning when I'm feeling fresh and I have lots of energy, and he does bedtime routine because frankly, the kids are better for him and he can do it in 20 minutes and it takes me an hour and 20 minutes to do. Things like when I'm feeling like I'm ready to lose my mind, if something's happened or someone's tantrumed, I just get up and walk out of the room. I have noise-canceling headphones that I got that help. If it's a really bad day and my husband's around and has the time or bandwidth, he'll take them down to the basement and I'll do other things upstairs to keep myself busy. I'll put laundry away or I'll, you know, do something just to get a break from the screaming and the thing. I just need to remove myself from the situation momentarily. So, lately I've been, going out for runs by myself, for bike ride runs. No, I haven't gone for a run lately. Bike rides by myself if things are getting really bad. And I had that conversation with my husband and then we figured out how we can make this work from a logistics perspective, right? If that's not an option for you, which I know it isn't for a lot of people based on, partners are in different areas or maybe you're a single parent. I used to, when I was, heavily alone with the children and my husband was working crazy hours and I rarely saw him, it was, leveraging TV or setting up FaceTime calls with grandparents or setting up, a lot of play dates in parks when that was a thing. A lot of things that I could be a little bit more hands-off and take a break and, my kids are always way better with other kids in public parks. Like, that's the saving grace for me. FaceTime dates with parents, accepting that TV is not the devil and just when I'm at my wit's end, throwing on a movie. It's not losing. You're not, how do you put this? It's actually a sign of strength to recognize that, hey, things are hard right now. I would rather put my kids in front of the TV than at some point, very shortly, snap at them and lose my mind and feel worse about my day. So I have one kid who doesn't super like TV, but at least I get like 15 minutes maybe. But those sorts of things. So all this to say, toddlers suck. They're dast. They're assholes. Even the best ones can be kind of dicks. So if you are in that thick of things right now, I get it. It's so, so, so hard. I feel for you. It is common. It is normal. It is just, it gets better. Not everything is a fight all the time, forever. My oldest one now, I actually look forward to going on walks with, as opposed to Austin, who it's this daunting, epic, horrible experience. My oldest one, I like going out with now. I like doing things with. She's funny. She somewhat listens. She has big feelings, but she has semi-logical big feelings that I can now understand. Sort of. But it gets better. And toddlers are by far my least favorite stage. I hate them. No, sorry. Hold on. You know what I mean. I don't like the stage. It's cute and it's creative and you can see their brains growing and they have moments where they're the sweetest human beings in the world, but they have moments where you're like, huh, okay, so this is what we're going to be doing right now. This is how you're going to react? Okay. So, toddler solidarity. I hope that helps with the watermelon-sized feelings for everybody right now because I feel that. I feel it deeply. It's hard. It's tough. If you're listening to this on Friday, it's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm not really going to do much because I'm in lockdown, but at least I won't be working. I don't know. Yeah. But hope everybody is staying safe, healthy. I hope that this helps. Good luck with your toddler woes. It gets better. Have a good one. ¶¶